from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there and welcome to the re-wrap for Friday. All the best bits from Friday's Mike Hosking Breakfast on Newstalk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning, what the Greens want to do to Wellington Transport, the Commodore not quite dead. We'll mark the week, that's what we do on Fridays, and how to fix big fat poms. But before any of that, can Mike buy the Warriors now, please?
So the model you want to look at is the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers are in the NFL. They are successful. They sell out. They have some of the greatest names in the game, from Bart Starr to Brett Favre to coaches like Vince Lombardi. They're a publicly owned non-profit corporation, have been since 1923. They're currently about 360,000 stockholders who own 5 million shares. There have been five stock sales in the club's history: 1923, 35, 50, 97 and 2011. Original stock in 23 sold for $5 a pop. In 79 it was $200 a pop. Last time they were on the market it was $250 for stock. The club is governed by an executive committee elected from the board of directors. That committee directs management, approves expenditure, monitors management, generally runs the place. Only the president gets paid. Everyone else does it because they love the team. So as a model, which, by the way, is unique and will be forever, given the rules around the NFL today, dictate a club has to be wholly owned by a single person or small group, and one of those people must own at least a third of the team. But Green Bay got the exemption because when they changed the rules, it was already in place and ensconced and had been for years. So why can't the Warriors operate under Monty's scheme? Why can't we buy the club? Why can't it be like the Green Bay Packers? What's remarkable about all of this, if you think about it, is that despite the fact the club continues to promise so much, yet deliver so little, look at how much it's loved. Forget the baggers and the hand-wringers and the naysayers. Eric Watson had a buyer lined up for $15 million. He apparently has two other bidders in line as well. Monty's idea, I bet you anything you want, would sell out if it was set up with appropriate rules and regulations. In other words, if it was properly structured. Hell, I mean, we bought a beach, for God's sake, that no one goes to at the top of the South Island on Trade Me. How hard can it be to deal with a league team? And it's the ultimate test of faith and confidence, isn't it? If you're prepared to put your money where your mouth is, and I am, I'm in, then that's a journey I bet tens of thousands of us are prepared to be a part of.
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't seen anything from the Warriors that justifies any kind of investment in them whatsoever, but each to their own, I suppose. Now, Wellington, the Greens want to make some investment into their public transport systems. Is it the right kind of investment? And what other cities can we compare Wellington to?
Wellington had light rail. They were trams, got rid of them because they caused congestion in the narrow streets. I remember it. It's very true. And the difficulty with trams, you go to Melbourne, you've got the same problem, of course, is that there's got to have all sorts of rules and regulations around it, and it's cumbersome, and the buses are more useful because they're more agile and you can change the routes, and whereas trams are a little bit, mind you, the tram, you know, straight line, all that sort of stuff. I don't know. I mean, I've been in places around the world where public transport works an absolute treat, and I've been in places around the world where it's a complete cluster. And it's how you do it, it's how much. But I go back to my original argument. My strong sense of it is, one, and having been in Los Angeles recently, they don't have a public transport system to at all. And yes, it's busy, but it works. And people love their cars, and they're happy to be in their cars. And I strongly suspect, despite the lobby, that most people actually like cars in this country. We've got more cars per head of population than just about anywhere in the world. And there's a reason for that, because we like them, and we like driving them. We like driving them in 110, and we like driving them on the roads. And
I don't know that anybody would really back you up when you say that Los Angeles is a fine example of...
No, I know what you're saying, because you're giving me the theory. You're giving me the theory. And everyone goes in Los Angeles, you go, I'm going from A to B. How long does it take? Goes, oh boy, that'll depend on the traffic. Whoa. And so everything I did travel-wise, they said that to me, and I thought, oh, well, all right, well, I'll allow an hour instead of 30 minutes. And it only took 30 minutes. Everywhere I went worked. There wasn't a single moment in Los Angeles, and we took a lot of trips, that we thought, oh, geez, we're stuck here. And that was peak hour, early, late, the whole thing.
So you think that maybe there's like a whinging pom, there is such a thing as a whinging Los Angelino?
There could well be one of those.
Probably a good opportunity for Auckland drivers who want to be Los Angeles Uber drivers. because you're well qualified for dealing with the traffic. Maybe you're acclimatized to it. Speaking of whinging Poms, we'll come back to Poms at the end of the podcast. But before we do, they're still making the Commodore, apparently.
Unfortunately, bad news on the Commodore front. Commodore being the car. Of course, you know one of the saddest things that's happened in the car industry of late is that they've folded. In Australia, so they no longer make the Commodore in Australia, they no longer make the Falcon in Australia, two of the most iconic cars of all time. What they're replacing, there is still going to be a Commodore, and I saw the photo yesterday, it's a European-sourced Commodore. Basically, it's an Opel, and it's... The only good thing about it, they've got them in Australia at the moment, they're testing and setting them up for local conditions, and they've done about 100,000 Ks in local conditions, but let me tell you this, the only good thing about the new European-inspired Commodore is that they've called it the ZB. It's the ZB Commodore.
Well, there we go. There's our corporate car.
How can the ZB Commodore be a bad Commodore?
Although, in saying that, I mean, Mad Max never drove around in an old Opel, did he?
No, he did not. No, he did not. No, actually, I don't know. Even a ZB Commodore.
My issue with the Commodore is that I can never remember how many M's and O's there are in Commodore. To be honest, even though I used to drive a Corolla, I never was quite able to get the O's and A's straight and how many L's. It's because car names often resemble real words, but they're not quite real words. This was not very interesting, so let's mark the week, because that's what we do on Fridays.
The Prefu 8. Yes, there's politics around it, but the numbers as numbers look good. This is a very successful country doing very nicely, thank you. And there aren't a whole bunch of countries out there that can say what we can right now. Peter Dunn, 4. Strange old business in a strange old campaign. He probably did more behind the scenes than most people realise, but it wasn't good news for the Nats, of course. Chris Wood this week, 8. $3 million a year, $26 million transfer and living the dream in the EPL. We love people living the dream. The Black Ferns, 8. Proving basically all forms of rugby are thriving. It'll be 10 when they win, of course. The All Blacks, 8. Business as usual, post the Lions. No expectation it'll be any different this weekend, of course, as we've just discussed. David Seymour, 8.
That makes me really angry. What a idiot. I mean, seriously.
Telling it like it is. Richard Prosser, 1. How do you go out there and cock a policy up that badly? I got no idea. The policy itself, 3. How can anyone be taken seriously when you're looking to spend $11 billion we don't have to solve a problem we also don't have? Fast trains, 9. Bring them on. But they need to be fast. The Golden Triangle is only the Golden Triangle if they're genuinely fast trains. If they're not, it's only a Bronze Triangle. Or indeed the 736 from Tauranga.
I'm vaguely uncomfortable about the phrase Golden Triangle. I don't know why, but it sounds to me like some kind of Asian sex trafficking ring. Maybe they could use some of that light rail for that. I don't know. Back to the big fat Poms.
Here's another example of how the world's gone completely mad. Backed up by these statistics, you can understand why they're worried, but a fascinating statistic out this week, 4 in 10, in other words, 40%, 40% of middle-aged adults in Britain are failing to even manage to take one 10-minute brisk walk a month. 40% of Poms do not even take one 10-minute walk per month. Now, based upon that, the NHS has panicked. And so what they're now offering is discounts on supermarket shopping. They're going to hand out step targets, those step-o-meter things, to big fat Poms. And they're going to go, have one of those, here's your target, and when you meet it, we're going to give you some discounts at your supermarket. Now what's your...
Are they called
stepometers.
Yeah.
Right.
I was going to say, you're completely mispronunciating that.
Stepometers. So anyway, here's your first problem. Your big fat Pom is going to take a stepometer and hand it over to his son and go, can you go do 10,000 steps and give it back when you've done it? And then they're going to get their discount.
No, this is English people we're talking
about. Sorry, my apologies.
Not Pakistanis.
And then they're going to go get their discounts from the supermarket and they're going to buy chips, aren't they? I mean, the whole thing's round in circles. And if you don't get your discounts at the supermarket, guess what else the NHS is handing out? Free bikes. You can get a free bike just by being a big fat Pom. You get a free bike. And there are going to be some sprinting tracks on pavements. So all of a sudden, you're going to be walking home from Asda. And you're going to see a start line.
Ideally, you want an actual starter as well with
you're
a gun.
You're going to do it with a guy with a gun.
Yeah.
And he's going to go, ready? You're going to start sprinting. And you're going to go for it. There's going to be some outdoor public gyms. And it's going to be piloted in new towns. It's a design for life. That's what they're calling it, a design for life. You believe that this is happening.
There I reckon I'm prepared to put on a few kilos for
exactly.
a free bike.
I'd get fat. If I was going to get cheap groceries and a free bike, I'd pack on a few pounds.
Because my bike, the sprocket thing, it's got a crack in it, and that can't be good.
Well, there you go.
I feel like I need to upgrade. So maybe I'll just whip up to England, put
well,
on a
what
few
we need to do
kilos.
Is get, there's bound to be, of the 20 DHBs we've got in this country, there's bound to be one stupid enough to want to adopt that and think it's a reasonably good idea.
Do you think we said big fat poms enough to really offend people out there? Will we get complaints? Or did we say it so many times that it just started sounding silly? It's an interesting one, isn't it, the use of the word pom? I know that there are some English people who don't like it, and there are some who are sort of proud of it. That makes it hard. I'm sure we'll all be probably in prison for hate speech on Monday, but if we're not, I'll see you back here then for more of The Rewrap. I'm Glenn ZB.